The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
The scripture reading today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. If you have a Bible from the pew in front of you, you can join me on page 966. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is God's word.
Good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful you're with us. We're continuing our cultural question series. And the next 2 weeks, as we round out that series, we're kind of making a turn. We've been addressing responses to a number of questions that are raised culturally. In the next couple of weeks, we want to kind of make a turn and begin thinking about why should we think that the Christian tradition provides a better story than those around us? That's what we want to look at. We have these deeply held convictions that God is who He says, that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, that He died in our place, that He was raised from the dead, that He sits at the right hand of the Father. We believe some really wild things, and yet we think that there's good reason to hold those beliefs. And so that's what we want to explore just a little bit. As we've said all along, we know we're just skimming the surface. We're not answering every question or addressing every issue in great depth in, you know, 20 to 25 minutes time. We get that, but hopefully we're at least kind of sketching a trajectory on which to think about these kinds of issues. Film has this great ability to create thought-provoking stories and characters that don't just provide a way of escape at times, though many do, but they also provide a way to thoughtfully reflect upon the substance of this life that we experience. And now I'm not talking about Oppenheimer and Barbie from this summer. I'm talking about that great film, thinking of that great film, Freaky Friday. Freaky Friday, if you're unaware, is essentially, this is all you need to know for the purposes of this morning. We're not going to have a great synopsis. I'm not going to play parts and characters. No worries. Lindsay Lohan is not showing up. But as we think about that movie, Freaky Friday, the substance of what goes on is a thought experiment of a body swap. That something happens, mother and daughter, constantly at odds with one another. They have this dinner at a Chinese restaurant, and they wake up in the morning in the other person's body. And the story then of the film is experiencing the person experiencing life through the other person's body and circumstance. What's interesting, though, in that story or in that movie is that there is this sense that Lindsay Lohan's character and Jamie Lee Curtis's character, they remain intact and the same, just with a different body. So it's not as though the daughter receives the mother's body and she receives a different self. It's that she has a different body, and now herself, her person, is experiencing life through the lens of the mother, and likewise the mother through the lens of the daughter. This film actually raises some very deep intuitions that we have as people. We have this sense that we aren't exactly the same as our physical bodies. You can lose portions of your physical body, and we still say, I'm the same person. If I lose an eye, I lose a hand, I lose a foot, like there are parts of you that you can lose, and we say you're the same person. You see, we have these deeply held intuitions that there is something about us that isn't entirely physical. That there's something about the human person that, yes, is made up of physical stuff and things, but the physical stuff and things of you and me doesn't exhaust your experience, doesn't exhaust who you are. And this is a really important experience that we have because it points to deep realities that the scriptures indicate for us. That there is indeed something that's unique about the human person that isn't entirely physical. That we aren't just an aggregate of physical stuff and things brought together in human body form, and there you have it. But actually, our experience says that there's something more to us. And that experience that there's something more to us indicates the reason in which Christianity provides a better story for understanding our lives and our life in this world. And this passage actually points in this direction. It indicates the same kinds of intuitions that movie Freaky Friday indicates. That there's a sense in which that a person can die, they can be raised and given a new body, and yet they're the same person. Your body doesn't cease to exist, and then you're recreated, and now you're a new and different person. No, there's something about you that died, about you that raises from the dead. It shows us there is indeed this immaterial aspect of the human person, and because of that, Christianity provides a better story for understanding our lives and our world. It's a better story because the reality is it's not physical or spiritual. It's physical and spiritual. There is material and immateriality that makes up the human person. And so we just want to track a couple of ideas to see why this matters. Why does this historic insight that the Christian tradition has held on to for more than two millennia, why does it matter for us? Why does it matter for my experience in the world? Why does it matter for how I think about the life that I find myself in? And to set this up, we need to see how our passage points to the possibility of life after death. See, for sure, the one thing that we can absolutely all agree upon, at this point in history, mortality is a 100% guarantee for every person. Like death is on the horizon. There is no getting around it. We are all going to experience it. And yet in this life, there is this longing that we have for something more. Something of a transcendent sort. Like we want something more than just the stuff and things that make up this life, don't we? We hope for significance, for meaning, for purpose. There are these longings that point us beyond the here and now to something greater, something bigger. And yet, if the physical is all there is, if the material stuff and things of our world is all that exists, then how is it that we could have these longings for hope that go beyond it? If the physical is all there is, then why do our longings point us towards something that's transcendent? That is something that moves beyond the physical. You see, our passage points us in this direction of a hope in a life to come. That the life that we have here, when we all experience the 100% mortality rate, That there is this promise and this hope of a life to come, and that's what our passage is pointing us to. For we know that if this tent that is earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing for our new heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up with life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. There are these metaphors used all throughout this passage, pointing us to this idea of the earthly body and the heavenly body. The metaphors of being clothed, being unclothed, having a tent, having a building, having a house, having a home. Those metaphors are all talking about the physical body. And so what's being said here is that there is going to come a point where death does arrive for all of us. And this body will cease. Death will come about, and yet there is a heavenly body that we can hope for. There's this resurrection to come. And what's interesting is the assumption is the you that dies is the same as the you who raises. And yet, if it's merely that your physical body ceases to exist and then a new physical body emerges, how is that on earth the same person? The same you, the same self. You see, it's pointing us to this idea that there's something more than just your physical stuff. And so this is the hope of the Christian story. That we can find life in Christ in such a way that there's a hope to come. That upon death, this life doesn't end, but it continues on. And we can have a resurrected life in a glorified body. That we could continue to experience friendship with the Lord beyond the here and the now. You see, it's pointing us to the reality of the resurrection. And through the resurrection, it's telling us something about your true self. What makes up you? You see, this is why Christianity provides a better story. It makes sense of our experience. It provides a deep-seated hope in something transcendent that moves beyond the here and the now. See, the assumption is that you aren't just your physical parts. That there's something about you that continues on into the future. And that your unique self is something different than your physical parts. And this is good news for us. So let's think about this for just a minute. Think about a fun memory that you made this summer. Where were you at? What were you doing? Who were you with? Think about some moment, some activity, some trip. What comes to mind for me is really captured by this picture. We were able to go, I think it'll come up at some point. We were able to go to Gulf Shores this summer to visit our oldest, who was on a summer mission project with his student, his campus ministry. And there it is. To make this happen, we had to go through a number of significant hoops to be able to go. We had to stay in three different places over the course of 6 days, the worst of which, ironically, was the Airbnb. We also stayed at basically a renovated Sunday school class in a church building. It was the nicest place we stayed, ironically. This is a Baptist Church Association retreat center. It was bare. It was a bunkhouse. As you can see, there were no places to sit. And so the memories that come to my mind are us dragging out mattresses, watching a movie in the living room area, spending time together. What is the memory that comes to your mind? The reality is this, like, if you were to do a brain scan as you were thinking about those memories, There would be different parts of and regions of your brain that would spike in different kinds of ways. You know, as you have a memory of that trip, you have a memory of that experience, something's lighting up on the screen. And yet the reality is, because you're not purely physical, I can't make sense of what's lighting up on that screen. I might be able to understand some correlations. These are the zones where happiness lights up. These are the zones where pain lights up. But I don't know what the experience was. I don't know what brought you happiness. I don't know what hurt you. I don't know what brought about pain. I can only know that if you speak to me and you can you communicate to me what it is about that experience. And the reason that's important is because it demonstrates that you're more than just the physical stuff and things. I need to have first-person perspective to understand your experience of those memories this summer. We experience meaning and significance in this life that goes beyond the physical stuff and things. I mean, ultimately, the longings that you and I have, they're longings for something more than just stuff and things, aren't they? And here's how I know that's true. Think about how life would be better, different, more convenient if you had more money. You had a different set of circumstance. You had a different kind of job. If you could have these things. But the reality is, your hope, your longing isn't just for those things. It's for something that they'll bring you, something they'll provide for you. You want more money, maybe because you want to have an experience of greater convenience. Maybe life would be a little bit easier. Maybe there would be more security. For others, maybe if you have more stuff and things, more financial freedom, it brings a sense of prestige. You're demonstrating that you're somebody, but here's the reality. It's not the stuff and things that you want. It's something that they bring and they provide. And so in that, it points us in this direction that we long for something more than the physical here and now. As C.S. Lewis puts it, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Those longings that point beyond the physical, they are signals to us that there's something more to this world than the stuff and things in front of us. But we are also people with a great sense of hope. And that sense, like we cling to anything that can provide us a sense of hope in this life. And that activity, that future-directed hope that we all experience, it points beyond the material stuff and things of this world. Like if you're a parent, you have a hope for how your children would turn out. And there's something so interesting about watching your children grow and wondering what they're going to become. What are they going to make of themselves? How is life going to direct them in one direction or another? We have these hopes for our children along the way. And yet, if it's only physical stuff and things, hope is misdirected. Because things just are the way they are. There is no hope that they'll turn out in one way or the other. They just will be what they will be. There is no other option. And yet none of us think that that's true. And so we all hope. And the Christian story provides us with a transcendent hope. A hope that points beyond the trials and difficulties and suffering and burdens of this world. That there's something more than our experience to be had. That whatever our difficulties are in the here and now, there is this hope of a life to come where burdens, trials, and sufferings will be no more. I mean, the Apostle Paul starts in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 by recounting the kind of suffering that he's experienced for the sake of the gospel. And before he transitions into chapter 5 to talk about the hope that's found in the resurrected body, He says this, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Because of the hope that the Christian faith brings, we can honestly, with the Apostle Paul, look at our struggles, our trials, our burdens, our heartache, our suffering. We can look at all of those things and see that by in perspective, they are light and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory to come. It's not physical or spiritual, but physical and spiritual. And because the human person is not completely made up of material stuff and things, that provides us hope for our own lives. And so how do we think about the good news of the Christian story in our daily life? Like, how should these realities help us think about our lives? On the one hand, we have to very personally wrestle with these issues. Like, because you are not exhausted by the physical facts about you, the stuff and things that make up your body, because that doesn't exhaust who you are, there is this invitation to give your life to Jesus. That you could know the God of the universe who made you in the way that he has, that you could experience the life in the way that you can. We've all walked away from that creator God and have sought to live life on our own. And the invitation of Jesus this morning is to return to him, to find hope, meaning, significance, and purpose in him and him alone. There is a transcendent hope that's found in Christ. There's life to be had in him, and a life that doesn't end here, because your life is not fully and only comprised of physical stuff and things. But there is a promise of a life to come, a life that's fully and completely restored, a life that's no longer hindered by physical ailments, a life that's no longer burdened by suffering and pain, a life that's no longer downtrodden because of anxiety and depression, guilt, shame, and all the rest, but a life that's found in him, a life that transcends the here and now, a life of a restored future. And so the invitation is to give your life over to him, to trust him at his word. If this is who he is, what would keep us from giving ourselves to him? And if we're in Christ, then we need to wrestle with these ideas in a very personal way to find hope and comfort and purpose in this life. Whatever burdens you brought in through those doors, you can find comfort in Christ because of how he's made you. You can know God and you can relate to God. And he is a God of all comfort. I mean, that's where the Apostle Paul begins in 2 Corinthians. And we can find comfort and hope through our suffering at the end of our days. We can find hope in the reality that to be absent from the body is to be present with our Lord. You aren't summed up completely and fully by the physical stuff and things that make you up. But there is greater hope, significance, and purpose to be found in Christ. And then together, as we walk in community, as we're resting in this hope that's found in Jesus, we have this ability to help one another, remind each other of the hope in Christ and the life to come. I mean, in one way of thinking about it, that's the why of these community environments. Why is it that we want you to be involved, engaged fully in one of these community environments? It's because we need to realize the significance of the hope that's found in Christ. We need one another to speak those realities to us. We need to be the kinds of people who are encouraging others. And so this fall, like, don't sit back remaining unengaged from those community environments. Not only will you miss out on something, but somebody else is going to miss out on your presence. And as we walk through those kinds of community environments, we're reminded that we can develop significant friendship with others. Because of how God has made us, we can have friendship with Him and we can have friendship with others. And as we walk through the difficulties and the joys of this life, that's exactly what we need. We need friends. I mean, this is why we're going to spend several weeks this fall talking about friendship. What does it look like to live from this confidence we have in Christ that we might be friends to others? Together, we want to be concerned not just about the physical, material stuff and things of this life, but we want to consider the spiritual well-being of one another. I mean, that's why we're hosting that Unhurried Life seminar. Because we need to be the kinds of people who are so resting in Christ that our inner life slows down. That we can move at the pace of Jesus. That we could be the kinds of people who are a life-giving presence. And so there's opportunities abounding for us this fall. And as we walk together as a believing community called Life Connection Church, we get to live on the mission of Jesus. We get to help people see the hope that's found in Christ. See that there's something about them that matters because they're made in God's image. And that there's hope to be had, hope to be found in Christ. And we get to be the kinds of people who point others to life in Christ. I mean, that's part of why we do things like the family VBS, our backpack drive, why we serve our community, no strings attached, because we want to point people to the hope that's found in Christ. And all of this is only possible and is only made reality because of Jesus. Because of his life, death, and resurrection, there is hope that transcends the here and now. And there is a hope that's to be had in him, that there's comfort to be found in this life because there is a life to come. And that because of the unique way that you have been made by God, that you have a physical body and you have this immaterial self, because of how he's uniquely made you, you can have friendship with him, you can have friendship with others. You can have hope in this life because Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The reminder for us that there's hope to be found in Jesus, that there's a hope in the life to come, is that it's not just physical or spiritual, but rather we are physical and spiritual. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, there's so much to be said about how you've made us and how you've wired us. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we reflect upon the reality of our origins, that we've been made by God in your image, that we aren't fully summed up by the physical stuff and things about our bodies, but that there's something more to us, that those realities, as we reflect on them, would bring comfort and hope to us. Hope in not just life now, but the life to come. This hope that's found in the transcendent reality that in and through Christ, we can find comfort in this life because there is a life to come. And so would you meet us right where we're at? Whatever burdens and difficulties and struggles we brought through those doors, would you help us to see those in light of who you are and what you've done in and through Christ? And in that, we know that that doesn't mean that those difficulties are going to melt away and that they'll no longer remain. Those difficulties might be with us for all of our days in the here and now, but there is a greater hope, and that hope is life in Christ and the life to come. And so would you help us to reflect on those realities, that we might find comfort and hope in Jesus in this moment. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So as we leave, let's leave looking to Jesus. Let's be reminded today that Christianity and Jesus himself makes the best sense of our experience in this world. And next week, we want to continue to kind of look at those themes and see how Jesus and our experience in the Christian faith provides meaning and significance in this life like no other story can. But as we leave, listen to these words. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.